What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
On a Tuesday, we'll get to Bob's threesome a little bit later on today.
That's a really good threesome.
I'm thinking about like changing it as we kind of go through the morning and adding Tommy Pham into the mix of that one as well. We were talking about him in break. There's no bigger poser in sports than Tommy Pham.
Oh, he's tough, dude.
I mean, he is a poser, dude. Yeah. Like, all he does is hold me back, bro. Mm-hmm. And like, every time you look up at MLB Network, Tommy Pham's yelling but never finishing the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he back in the day, remember Nick Schwartz was here, and I used to always say, Nick Schwartz, that guy who starts the bar fight and it gets going and then steps outside and smokes a cigarette and watches the bar fight happen inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's Tommy Pham. He lights the gas and then backs away and everybody else has to clean up, you know, his business. At one time, I would like Tommy Pham to actually throw a punch.
You think Tommy Pham's ever used a line in his life, you ought to see the other guy?
Yeah. Tommy Pham is also one of those guys.
Your eyes effed up, Tommy. You should see the other
guy. Yeah. But he's one of those guys, too, that you look at from an athlete standpoint and expect him to do a lot more than what he's actually produced in everyday life. Like, Tommy Pham, pound for pound, muscle mass for muscle mass, may be the least producing baseball player of all time. I mean, that guy is jacked. He looks like he can rip him, and he grounds out the second.
Tough guy. I will say, you sent a very interesting story last night about your mother's neighbor.
Yeah, my mother-in-law's
neighbor. Are they friends? I have to ask first.
I believe so.
I would assume, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
And then she came over and started to foil through something that was already foiled through?
That's exactly right. Okay. You know, you separate the recycling from the trash for whatever reason.
Glass,
you do
plastic.
This, right? Yeah. Well, glass, technically not. That goes into the normal garbage. So essentially the recycling is cardboard at this stage, right? And some plastic. And
Amazon boxes?
Yeah, right. I mean, again, break down your Amazon boxes, ladies. Come on. I saw a skit on TV or something the other day. Father walks out 10,000 Amazon boxes not broken down. I'm like, see, we weren't wrong when we said it. You know, like, women don't break down the Amazon boxes, right?
You're just so chauvinistic.
It's just boxes in general. Men like breaking down boxes for whatever reason. Anyway, so I digress. So my wife tells me this yesterday. She says, yes, for the last 10 minutes, my mother's been standing in her driveway as her neighbor rummages through her recycling bin, taking out what she believes is not recyclable products and throwing them into the regular trash. Who does that?
I mean, someone with severe OCD, which, I mean, I guess I have that, but like to like go through somebody's, that's tough.
I mean, going through your neighbor's recycling bin and picking through stuff that you believe isn't recyclable and then putting it in the other trash can, that's weird. I mean, that's just like, you got to find something else to do. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, we all have these neighbors, right, that do this kind of stuff. Maybe not to that extreme or to that level. But I think everybody's got the neighbor out there that does something so ridiculous every time. You're just like, what are you doing, man? Why are you doing this kind of stuff? But going through somebody else's trash, I remember back in the day, I had somebody tell me that their mother went through Patrick Mahomes' trash because they drove by his house and wanted to see what was in the trash can. Mm. So they stopped by when he was living in his first home and rummaged through his trash cans.
That's fun. That's a little much. I mean, you can live next to my neighbor who every once in a while puts a big rig outside and runs it overnight.
Is that still happening?
He hasn't done it since wintertime. Now they have a trailer outside that they're working on, and they park all their cars in the street. So it's like where I wish I could have some sort of HOA and not have an HOA. This is where I want to be like, hey, come on.
How many cars are they parking in the street? Oh, that's a lot.
A van, a Bronco, and a Honda Civic.
Yeah. New Bronco or old school Bronco?
New.
Okay.
Similar to yours, but it's the cloudy blue color.
Oh, okay.
With like the black top.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
Nice.
Yeah, I need him to figure things out.
Move it.
Yes.
Hey, it's like when you live in an apartment complex and the person upstairs wants to play music all night
long. I'm hoping that this guy will connect his trailer to his Bronco and I never see him again.
Yes.
Because he mows shirtless and probably shouldn't.
Oh, no.
Well, the sun's hot and no one needs to see that.
No one needs to see
that. I'm not going to mow my lawn with a shirt off.
Oh, hell no. No, you don't need to do
that. Barely see me with a shirt on, let alone mowing with it off. Now, if you got, you know, the body of a Maserati, I'd be out there every day, thigh-high shorts, sunglasses on, backwards hat, shirtless.
Right.
Hey, let me hold on real quick. How you doing, miss? Have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
But no, speaking of getting back to action, before we get into Mike Florio's stupid comments, you wanted to see the Royals get through four games back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're 3.5.
Right.
And you want to see Hollywood Brown get back.
Yeah,
Hollywood Brown. What a sight to see that was yesterday.
Thank God he's kind of coming back, because with this Rashee Rice suspension for 3 years, I mean, we're going to need Hollywood Brown, right? I mean, that's what they're talking, a 3-year suspension now for Rashee Rice or something like that, right? So let's just suspend him for the rest of his career. But no, getting Hollywood Brown back is key, but I still wouldn't play him on Friday, right? I wouldn't play this guy until I need to see him in a game, because we're going to need Hollywood Brown at some point in time this year if Rashee Rice is going to miss a mass amount of games that everybody seemingly is talking about right now. So even if it's 6 games, 4 games, 2 games, you're still going to need Hollywood Brown for an entire season. And so I think Andy said it yesterday. They're kind of slow playing this thing with Hollywood Brown. Like, he probably could be back a lot sooner than he has been, but they're slow playing it because they're like, we got to make sure that this guy is healthy and we got to make sure we don't have any setbacks, because injuries are one thing, rushing back and then having the setbacks, that hurts you even more. And so I like the fact that they're slow playing this thing with Hollywood Brown. I'd slow play it with everybody at this time of year.
Right. And I think that, you know, because you bring up the Rashee Rice suspension, again, this will be another year where you won't have a full year of every receiver in the room. Obviously, injuries happen, but sometimes suspensions happen as well as injuries. And last year, Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice both not available together for the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, maybe the first 5 games we'll see them together. And I think Hollywood Brown's role is a little bit bigger than we've been trying to talk about, because we talked about what Xavier Worthy's role will be, what the running back duo will be, what they're going to do when Rashee Rice is not available to play on this roster. And I think Hollywood Brown is significantly important because of what he can bring and what he can do. He's not big like Rashee Rice. He doesn't have the same sort of, you know, route tree that Rashee Rice has, but Hollywood Brown is a vet. He's got a little bit of speed. He's got a little bit of, you know, improvisational skill sets when he can get out there. And we haven't really seen Hollywood Brown as a Chief yet.
No, we really haven't.
Very little towards the end of the season last year. We saw one play in preseason last year. I'm with you. I don't need to see him Friday. I would like to see the boys get out there a little bit in front of the home crowd, kind of get the juices flowing.
They will.
And Andy said the starters will play.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe 2 series is what they'll see. But look, it's crazy to think they were 2 weeks away from the regular season, and getting ready to have a third preseason game Friday night at Arrowhead.
So. Yeah, and I think with the Hollywood Brown thing, I mean, and this may be like a bad analogy, but I think you understand what I'm saying. He's kind of like your stocking on Christmas. Like, you kind of forget about that, but then you open it up, you're like, oh, sweet, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. There's some good stuff in my stocking, right? Like, Hollywood Brown, to me, is kind of that guy that we've kind of forgotten about, but I think we're really going to count on him this year. And hopefully he's that guy that is the one who steps it up. Like, who's going to step it up when Rashee Rice is gone, right?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's Hollywood Brown, and hopefully he can fill in and, quote unquote, not make us miss Rice when he's gone for the better part of 3 years with his suspension. So,
yeah. And I think that, you know, if you can get him back, it also, you know, insanely gets Patrick Mahomes that much better. And I know that a lot of times that we've always said in the past that Patrick Mahomes makes receivers better. Well, maybe now that he's been in the league so long, you know, it wouldn't be much of a boost if he can have healthy receivers like a Hollywood Brown, like an Xavier Worthy, like a Travis Kelce. You can still do a lot of damage with that and have Rashee Rice. And with the gauntlet that is the first 5 games of the season, obviously Jacksonville's a stinker and the Giants are a stinker, but 3 other games against Baltimore, Philadelphia, and those Chargers in Brazil, if you can go 4-1 in those first 5 games, you can really set yourself up, and then you can kind of peel back the playbook that you put together in these last couple of weeks of preseason preseason with Hollywood Brown incorporated in there with Xavier Worthy, because I think where you can use Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice to counteract each other, you could do the same with Hollywood Brown, where I think Hollywood Brown still has a little bit of that speed that's respectable and feared, that you could play a guessing game on the outside with Worthy and Hollywood, and with the way they run and as fast as they are, you've got to get it right quickly. And I'd love to see what the quirkiness and the brains of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes can do with those two maybe lined up on the same side, where you're like, looks like Xavier Worthy's going to go deep. He cuts underneath. Hollywood Brown goes the outside. Boom, there's your deep pass. Or strike that and reverse it with Xavier Worthy outside.
I think where they also have an advantage is that there's no tape on Hollywood Brown for the last 2 years, right? Like the league. The
yeah,
league,
he's missed 25 games last 26 games.
But honestly, though, I mean, you have a couple of tail end games last year and a few playoff games that he really wasn't a factor. And you really don't have much Hollywood Brown tape until you go back before he was a member of the Chiefs. And so you don't know what they're going to do with Hollywood Brown. The opponent doesn't know what they're going to do with Hollywood Brown. Nobody even knows if Hollywood Brown is still a speedster type guy like he was a couple of years ago, right? Because we just really don't know where his game is going to be. So I think it's kind of fun to have the unknown with Hollywood Brown right now, because I don't even think we know what to expect out of Hollywood Brown. I know we don't know what to expect out of Hollywood Brown as Chiefs fans, because we haven't had the opportunity to see it yet.
Yeah, I think Dusty mentioned it. Really good crossing pattern, stretching the defense. I think Xavier Worthy will be that Rashee role, like we saw last year, him kind of start to fill in that after Rashee got hurt, those short routes, curl routes, find sit in the zone and get at yards after the catch. I think Hollywood's going to be that go deep guy and stretch the defense. The little that we saw at Hollywood Brown, it was clear him and Mahomes had a chemistry. They had a connection. Patrick knew where he was going to be. Part of that's because Hollywood is a veteran wide receiver and has played now with three different quarterbacks and three different styles on three different offenses. He's going to be good on this offense.
He's going to be really good. I think it's going to be exciting to see. Like, I just don't know what to expect. I'm excited to watch him, because as a gentleman told me one time in life when we were having our first child, he said, "Are you going to find out what the sex is?" And I said, "Probably." He goes, "Don't. You know, there's not many good surprises in life." I feel like Hollywood Brown's a good surprise for us this year. Like, we know about everything on this team for the most part, right?
Yep.
How much good surprise can you really have with an offensive tackle, right? You're not going to have this guy making plays. He's just going to shut down people. Hollywood Brown is kind of that new weapon that we have this year that we haven't gotten a chance to see. So I think he's kind of a good surprise this year. I'm excited to watch him play.
Should be fun. So some news yesterday with another injury, as FAU snapped the hamstring, appears. And Kling had reported on Twitter.
Yeah, the Kling tweet was...
He basically said he kind of knew right away that something was wrong when he came off the field. Like, this ain't good.
Yeah.
And obviously the news yesterday was he was placed on IR, ending his season as a Kansas City Chief going into year three. Not a lot of people happy with Veach, apparently, on X.
Well, they can get over it. They kiss my ass on this one. I mean...
Again, we go back to this, and I know that a lot of people can, you know, look at this draft as hindsight and go back and say... Well, they could have had Sam Laporta. They could have.
Mm-hmm.
But they took the kid from K-State in the draft in Kansas City in the first round with a 32nd pick. And I think, you know, the three picks that everyone will always go back on, I'm going to say that again, three picks that everyone will go back on Brett Veach is Breland Speaks, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Felix Ndukayezama, two of which were taken in the last pick of the draft.
Sky Moore.
Yeah.
Sky Moore, but second round. I'm talking about first round picks.
Okay.
Even though Breland's
okay,
second round pick.
So four picks out of...
So yeah, we'll throw Sky Moore, Breland Speaks.
It's great. Yeah, that's awesome. But it doesn't mean you can't talk about that. No, it doesn't mean you don't talk about it.
But I don't think you can talk about guys being injured quite frankly as busts right now either.
Like, FAU is a bust before this injury.
I would say so.
I don't know that answer.
I would say he was tracking that way. He was not like year one, you're like, ooh, we got to... Because like, look at it. Totally different guys. Josh Simmons, FAU. It took two practices for everyone to be like, Josh Simmons.
Sure.
We've had FAU for 2 years, and no one has had any sort of glazing towards him like they are towards Josh Simmons. Yeah. Both first-round picks. You look at Trent McDuffie, right? All-pro corner. That's a guy that everyone's like, that guy's there. Then you look at Sky Moore, and you're like, every single day, it's like yesterday we spent 5 minutes clowning him, right? Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's okay to bring up bad picks, right? Just like okay to make talk about bad acquisitions. Like if Yaz sucked and Frazier was terrible and Grechik was absolutely ass, you could be like, ah, JJ failed all three. But then you could, you know, also go look at what we're doing right now with the Royals organization. They're working out. They're doing well. Yes, not every time not every topic that we have is a banger.
No.
But sometimes we have four that in a week are like, crickets. But you might have 15, and I'll take 15 and 4 every day. I'll take 15 and 2 every day as a season. But again, like, this injury, in my opinion, I think we're probably done seeing FAU as a Chief.
Well, I mean, I'm not picking up his fifth year option. He's got one more year to go. He gets this. I mean, that what Kling tweeted yesterday about, like, he quote tweeted Nate Taylor, because I think people were kind of taking this as, oh, injury to FAU, boo hoo hoo type of thing. And Kling said, based on what I saw on Saturday, this is a very serious injury to FAU. And so, like, when somebody gets injured like that and they miss a season, you know, am I ready to write them off? No. You come back, you heal, and you see what we can do. We're so quick in sports to write people off. We love when people fail. That's why this Breland Speaks conversation has been happening for so long in this town, because Brett Veach is basically infallible. He's Teflon Don. He really doesn't make many mistakes. And when he does, oh, they stand out and everybody wants to talk about him, right? I guess we could have won more Super Bowls if Breland Speaks was a different pick, or if Sky Moore was a different pick, or if FAU was a different pick. See, the thing is, for me, I look at the end results, and the end results say, we're doing just fine here. He's doing just fine. Not every pick is going to be a Hall of Famer. Who was the GM last week that said, I should have just drafted all Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah.
Would have been easier that way. Not every pick works out. I don't think any general manager in any sport has ever had a 1,000% success rate on drafting players. I think if you could get roughly 40 to 50% of your picks working out in a draft, I think that's a pretty good hit rate. I would venture to say Brett Veach is in the high 80s, low 90s when it comes to percentage of draft picks working out, making contributions, being players, you know, on this team. And that's why I have a hard time looking at a bad draft pick in a vacuum and saying, oh, this guy stinks or this guy's a bust. FAU, to me, we just move on and the next man up and we figure it out and we go from there. And that's kind of the way I've been with injuries on this team for a while now. Chris Jones said at the end of the Kingdom episode the other night that I was watching, he goes, as long as we got Pat and Andy, we got a chance to win. And that's what it comes down to. Those are the two guys that are important. It's Pat and Andy. And as long as we have them, we got a great chance to win. And so if Brett Veach missed on FAU or missed on Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Sky Moore or Breland Speaks, oh, well, so what? You know, not everybody's perfect. We all make a mistake here or there. But to say that FAU and to write him off right now, I don't know. I'd like to see him come back next year. I'd like to see him off that hamstring injury. I'd like to see the guy have success. Maybe he won't. Maybe I'll be wrong about that. Again, oh, well, you win some, you lose some. And I just find it really, really not in my taste to run a guy when he made one or two or three or four bad draft picks over the course of a decade. That's just kind of the way that I look at it. But everybody's like that. We're so quick to point out faults and why and wrong and you stink and you did this wrong. It's the way society is, I guess. Not my cup of tea.
This is why Howie Roseman's better than Brett Veach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Howie Roseman, they were talking in Philadelphia this morning. They may trade for Joshua Williams. A potential suitor for the Eagles is Joshua Williams.
Five of Howie Roseman's last eight picks aren't even on his roster anymore.
Sorry, what did you just say?
Five of his last eight picks are not on the
first
roster.
Round picks or just...
Yeah, Andre, Derek Barnett in 17, not on their roster. No pick in the first round in 2018. Andre Dillard is no longer with them. Jalen Reagor is no longer with them. And I don't
think vodka Reagor.
Yeah, good bourbon as well. Now
their vodka's off the charts now.
He's kind of nailed it in his last 5 years though. Devonta Smith, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Quinyon Mitchell, Jahad Campbell.
And Derek Barnett had a game-winning strip sack in the Super Bowl. He was pretty good for them for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Go Bulls.
No, I think it's just one of those things like, yes, they can be 1A and 1B. I'm not going to argue either point. Take your poison. But I'll take the guy with more rings.
Yeah, I will too. I'll always take the guy with more rings and less mistakes.
Surprise from you. You've taken the other take before. I don't think rings. I don't ever put rings on the GM. I'm not going to.
Who gets credit for the rings then? Because you're not putting it on the quarterback anymore. We're not putting it on the GM.
I put it on the quarterback and the coach for sure.
Oh,
mainly.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, GM doesn't mean they don't get credit. Like, but like, I'm not like, oh, this GM has less rings, so he's not as good. I don't think that's the way I judge general managers. That's not the way I do it.
No, that's the way I would.
That's fine.
I look at roster and stability.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles have been A1 on that, just like the Chiefs. They've both been heads there, but I'd say
the Chiefs have done it for a longer stretch.
Just because
though.
You criticize a pick from Brett Veach doesn't mean you're saying he's bad. You're just pointing out something. Both things can be simultaneously true. He's 1A or 1B, one of the best GMs in the last 25 years. He's also had some really bad picks. That's okay. The end result's been great. The end result on the defensive line, what we're talking about with FAU, it's been below average. The defensive line, the pressures, the pass rush.
That's why they went out and got new guys this year.
Absolutely, and let's hope they kill it. And if they don't, we'll talk about Brett Veach and his ability to scout defensive linemen. I don't think that doesn't mean he's not great. He's amazing. We've talked about his ability to scout defensive backs, his ability to get these wide receivers in the past few drafts. Obviously, Mahomes, his ability to rebuild an offensive line in a year. He's incredible. Doesn't mean he doesn't have misses and we can't point him out.
Yeah, well, I won't point those out because I love him. But I also think this is a perfect conversation of the Chiefs being held to a higher standard than everybody else out there. I mean, I really do. Like, you know, we were talking about the Mahomes thing the other day. If he goes 5,000 and 50 touchdowns and doesn't win the Super Bowl, people will say it's a down season. But if he wins the Super Bowl and doesn't go 50 or 5,000, he's had a down season. I mean, Brett Veach, Andy Reid, like, we become so good at what we do here in football that anything that isn't exceptional, wonderful, and perfect, everybody's like, ah, they lost it. And everybody's just rooting for this dynasty to end. So take what you want about Brett Veach. Say what you want about Brett Veach. I'll take Brett Veach every day of the week.
I think most
over any
would.
Other general
I think
manager
most
out there.
Would, though.
Yeah, and I don't think that. I mean, it's like you said earlier with Q, like the six people on the text line. That there's the same five people on Twitter that are either trolls or they. The thing that I will say where I will give Brett Veach the separation, because you could almost have the same conversation with like Burrow and Allen. Right. Like you could have either one, 1A, 1B, if you take Mahomes out of the list because everybody, you know, we just keep him off this conversation where we keep close room. The one thing that I will say that Brett Veach gets a slight edge over Howie Roseman is two of the biggest things Howie Roseman has done are not homegrown and not drafted. He went out and signed A.J. Brown.
He traded for A.J. Brown. That's part of being a GM.
But that's also, again, if I'm trying to be here. Brett Veach drafted Trey Smith, drafted Creed Humphrey, drafted Nick Bolton, drafted Trent McDuffie, drafted Rashee Rice, drafted Xavier Worthy, and everybody said for a while that he couldn't draft wide receivers. And he drafted two future wide receivers in his team.
Yeah.
And then it went and...
Hopefully three.
You would hope.
Jalen Royals,
right, you would hope.
Seriously.
Whereas Saquon Barkley, also, he acquired, but didn't draft. And those are two very big pieces into his offense where he fleeced two very bad franchises, which is fine. He went and bullied two teams in Tennessee and in the New York Giants.
Well, Barkley was a free agent, though. Yeah, I mean, he gets less credit for that.
Less credit for, but the A.J. Brown, I'm giving him credit for.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But he didn't draft him.
No, it's different.
And when we go back to drafting and putting rosters together, yes, they went and traded for A.J. Brown, 100%. They decided to give Derrick Henry a ton of money, and then he ended up going to Baltimore, Tennessee, failed that whole situation.
And Tennessee was in a different spot, too, trying to get picks and change their roster around.
And they took advantage of John Robinson. It was a terrible trade.
Brett Veach, you know, what, like, Sammy Watkins, Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS.
Melvin Ingram, there's a couple deep, Terrell Suggs, like a couple smaller.
But they weren't like A.J. Brown prime.
Those were like adding Yastrzemski in at the trade deadline,
sure.
Right? There's no future tied to these guys at all.
Yeah.
Come in here for a couple of weeks and play and see what you can do and see what you can give us, right? Those are no big deal moves.
But at the end of the result, there's two GMs that have been in more Super Bowls than anybody else in the NFL, and it's in the last 5 years, and it's Howie Roseman and Brett Veach.
Yeah, let's see where the Eagles, let's see how sustainable this thing is in Philadelphia. And the reason I say that is because, what are they on, their third coach now since Andy Reid has left? Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson,
I think
Nick Sirianni, right? Maybe it wears out there with Howie Roseman a lot. I don't know what that kind of relationship is like in Philadelphia, but I'm interested to see what that staying power is and seeing if the Philadelphia Eagles can stay on top and put together a decade long run like the Chiefs. Like, what the Chiefs have done is the hardest thing to do in sports. It's staying on top. Everybody's gunning for you every year, and the Chiefs have maintained that for a decade. I'm interested to see what the Eagles are going to be like this year, quite honestly.
Well, we'll see him here shortly in about 4 weeks.
Yeah,
on A's.
And I'm not trying to hate on Brett Veach, by the way. I think he's amazing.
No one said you were.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Relax.
Yes, I think he's great.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the national narrative that we've been experiencing about this dynasty being over. Like, I'm over it, man.
No,
I'm just over the negative juju out there about this team right now, right? We got Juju Smith-Schuster. We don't need bad juju, right? We got good juju.
Yeah, we got good juju.
Like, and I just feel like, I feel like this is going to sound so weird, I'm being personally attacked, and I'm over it right now because people want to run down this organization and say the dynasty's over and this is no good anymore and that's no good anymore and looking for reasons why. And I'm just sick of it, man.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Just all over the nonsense of everybody trying to tell us that it's over here when it's not. It's not even close to being over. And so anytime somebody says something negative about this team, I can say something negative about it, but that's my child. You say something negative about my child, it's go time. And I'll actually fight, unlike Tommy Pham.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.